You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
You're listening to the smooth night sounds of the Liberty Cats. You Hepcats and Swing Kittens, pull up your beanbag. Put on your beret, grab that electric pipe, put on that smoking jacket, and put your cat in your lap, because it's time for your daily injection of furry love. Now here's the granddaddies of hip and everything cool, Brian Hagen and Taryn P. Lupo.
Well, that is correct. It is time for that shot of furry love injection, because that's what we bring to you Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays on the air with the Liberty Cats. I'm Brian Hagen, along with
Taryn P. Lupo.
And Taryn P. Lupo, how's your cat today, my friend?
Well, the cat is up and about. There's, you know, I live with a couple cats here and there. And what happened is there's this one cat, Mookie. He's super cute, and you always want to touch him. And once in a while, he'll come to you and rub against you and pat him, and then, man, out of nowhere, swipes you. It's so dirty.
Oh, it's wow. Like, he's like a thug cat.
It's kind of like high school dating, you know, where you think you're good and then you get punched.
Yeah, exactly. All of a sudden, yeah, one day you're living in happiness. You think you've got the best looking girl in the world. Next day, boom, you're out of there and she's with some other guy and you can't understand why she's with this guy. And she leaves you heartbroken and cutting yourself in the corner.
That's right. Yeah, it sounds just like my high school, pretty much.
Yep. Instead of the cat cutting you, you're doing it yourself.
It reminded me. And how's your cat in his mobile home?
My cat in his mobile home is doing pretty darn good. I did find out.
Palace.
Yeah, he's got his cat palace. It was really adorable. It was yesterday. Or, I guess it was yesterday. Every day bleeds into another. It was a nice day. So he was, the way it's designed is, there's this plastic table that almost creates a balcony for him and like a porch-like setting.
Yeah.
And he was laying inside that little porch-like setting, just enjoying the wind. His little eyes were closed, and he just looked like he was in kitty heaven. It was so adorable.
Yeah, when the wind blows and their fur blows around and they sniff in the air, it's so cute.
Oh, I love that. That little sniffy thing they do. Yeah, that's just absolutely adorable. So, yeah, he's been good.
We had a guest on last week, and I completely forgot to ask Allison if she had cats. We got to get better about asking our guests about their cats.
You know,
first.
You're right.
And
Taryn, that was yesterday, man. I mean, apparently your mind is going as quickly as mine, because we had Allison Bricker on yesterday's show. And
yeah.
Remember that? It was just
yesterday, not last week.
Right. It was 24 hours ago, my friend. And I thought I was the one with the heavy drinking problem. Good Lord.
You know, I played rugby for 20 years, and people don't take this serious that I got kicked in the head a lot. I played in the forwards. And for you guys that had never seen rugby, it's kind of like football without pads. And I mean, that's a general way to look at it. And I was kind of like a lineman where, you know, I do a lot of hitting and tackling. And over the years, I swear I just got stupider and stupider. So my memory sucks, man. You can tell me something and we'll probably talk about the same thing. I'll bring it up on the show like five times. You're like, man, we talked about this yesterday. What?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? Let me ask you this question. I know we've got a lot to talk about, a lot to get to here on the Liberty Cats today, but, you know, really the way we kind of roll things, and I want to make this very clear to our listeners of this train wreck of a show, so much of it just comes out of the ideas at hand. You might say something, and I just kind of roll with that. I'd say it's kind of a jazz scope sort of show. I'm used to, you know, a lot of planning and a lot of pre-production, as we put it in the industry. But really with the Liberty Cats, Taryn, I think it all comes down to the conversation. And of course, our conversation is idiotic and rambling, and that's what we do here. And I want to go back to something you said a moment ago about how many hits you took to the head back in the day when you were a rugby player. What then, dear friend, is your thought on what's going on today in the world of Major League Football? We've got all of these NFL players coming out, and we're talking about players from like 20, 30 years ago. All of a sudden, they're suing the NFL for the concussions that they suffered. They're saying that their lives are ruined because of, you know, the athletic events that they went through in the past. Yet they were making millions of billions of dollars taking those head injuries. What do you think about these guys that are suing the NFL for that reason?
To get to that kind of level, you have to be a total testosterone junkie. And when I played with guys at a higher level of rugby, and I also played semi-pro football for a while, you get to the point where you are arguing to stay on the field. They'll be like, no, man, you got a dent in your head and your cheek's broken and you got a bloody nose. You're like, no, I can go back in. I gotta score that stupid point.
I can do it, coach.
I'm not kidding. I think I got two or three concussions in one game and kept playing because my back. I played in the part of the 80s and 90s, and they just didn't care, man. You could, it was like we had players short. It was obvious I was cross-eyed and blurry, and whatever. Get back out there and hit somebody.
Get in there, Lupo.
I really think it's so hypocritical. What I think is these NFL players probably spent all their money and are trying to grab what they can because it was probably their idea to stay on the field and keep playing.
That's what I'm thinking, too. I don't think you can blame the NFL. Now, let's go one step further with this whole thing. I know that all of a sudden, and it's funny how things happen in the media, Taryn. All of a sudden, I and my job, which is radio news broadcasting, I start getting, this was a couple of years ago, start getting one press release after another about the dangers of concussions in sports. Okay, you don't think a lot about it. All of a sudden, you're getting flooded with these. And all of a sudden, now there's public service announcements going on in the air. All of a sudden, there's experts coming out of the woodwork wanting to talk about this. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, Congress wants to get involved. And I don't know if they've actually had any hearings on this or not, but I know Congress has discussed wanting to at least investigate the NFL over these concussions. Don't you think that's overreach?
I can't remember seeing that anywhere in the Constitution about regulating sporting events.
No!
And this is just so normal. Like, there'll be a big baseball scandal or something, and they demand congressional investigation. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world does this have to do with any sort of form of government? Like, why are they involved with sports? But society sees that as so normal now. It just shows you just how absolutely off track and crazy from the government can get, where they could enter something like a sporting event and lay down rules.
Well, people demand it. They go, well, if these athletes are suffering concussions, then there ought to be a law. Government needs to get involved in this sort of thing. So it's not just a fact of normalcy. It seems like something that the people themselves want.
And that's it. This is how it always goes down, Brian. Whenever they there's usually some politician that wants to do a power grab so they can earn money through some backroom deal. Now, what happens is they need a couple people to go out and make a scene and talk about it. So this is kind of how the drunk driving laws got started, is they bring out the poor mom that lost her kid and force the laws down on everybody to a ridiculous standard.
Uh-huh.
And it just goes on that they'll always put up some poor person that's been injured. Like, they'll bring on the one mom that, of their kid that got killed by a concussion out of the hundreds of thousands that did not, and demand legislation. And there's always money behind it.
Oh, you're right.
Track the money. Somebody's, now the doctors' union is mandatory that we have to do concussion testing. And, oh, boy, I guess we got to make some money on that, You're going to have to – it's going to be mandatory if you want to play again. You have to go through all this rigmarole to get cleared. And, back in the day, we didn't do any of that stuff. Can you play? Can you see? Yes, go in.
And, I'm embarrassed for these parents that come out. And I have to ask myself, are they making money on this? Are they getting paid? I think back to high school, one of those ridiculous anti-drug campaigns, back in the day of just saying no. They're like, we're going to have, and they're briefing us beforehand, we're going to have a very special assembly tomorrow. This individual has been through a lot, and it's all because of drugs. Well, you get to the assembly, all of a sudden they're like wheeling out this dude that has like half a stump of a leg, half his head is gone, he's got no arms, he's talking like this, and it's all because he like used marijuana.
One time,
and all of a sudden he became old Stumpy the Wheelie guy, And
they don't ever tell you, it's court mandated, this poor guy doesn't even want to do this.
Exactly, and it's because
this is his last ditch effort to stay out of getting, cage raped.
And they don't tell you that, you know, after he smoked that joint, he decided to drive down the highway going 200 miles per hour, you know, passing every car in sight, driving like an idiot, which had nothing to do with the marijuana. It came down to personal choice. Not unlike these professional athletes making millions of dollars, having beautiful homes, having beautiful trophy wives, having beautiful parties on sex boats, yet they're coming out and suing the NFL. I think it's just sick, Taryn Lupo, where we've gotten in our society. And there ought to, no, there shouldn't be a law. No, there should not be a law.
Yeah. It just, it amazes me how people go in and beg to be regulated. Please add more laws to us. We cannot handle this responsibility on our own, you know. Big Daddy government, please save us all.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like,
it's a sickness, man. It's a sickness that the first thing you do is turn to government to solve your problems.
Exactly. It's like, are these people so stupid that they can't see that they're causing the problems for themselves? These NFL players voluntarily entered the game, signed the contract, wanted to make all that big money, and nothing wrong with that. But then they turn around and bite the freaking hand that feeds them. It's wrong, 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 I tell you. Hey, we got more to talk about here on this edition of the Liberty Cats. In fact, we got a lot to talk about. We'll talk more about regulation. I got a few things on my mind. I'm sure you do too, Taryn. So that's coming up on this side of the break on the Liberty Cats. Meow!
Meow.
In a world where freedom is fun and everything you thought you knew is wrong, two unlikely voices rose up from the noise. From the minds that brought you Fajita Fun Time and Wheels Off Liberty comes the Liberty Cats. Darren P. Lupo and Brian Hagen are just in time to save us all.
Well, you know, really, we the Liberty Cats are like your superheroes of the airwaves. I don't care if you listen to Alex Jones. I don't care who you listen to. Nobody, my friend, is as good, as talented, and as cat-loving as we are. I'm Brian Hagen, along with my old compadre.
It's Taryn Lupo, and we don't toot our own horn or anything.
No, never. We never talk about how much better we are than Glenn Beck.
Glenn's a soul-changing experience to listen to this show.
It really is. Let me tell you something. Lives are being changed every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
You are the Sally Struthers of the airwaves.
That's how I feel, my friend.
Saving all those children out there listening.
Saving those children and then wanting to eat them on my salad. That's the Sally Struthers in me.
Oh, why'd you have to go there with Sally? She's trying.
Dude, have you ever seen that South Park from like six years ago where she was on?
Yeah, it was one of the very first years where they were teasing. All right, for you viewers that have not seen it, there's a South Park episode where this kid comes down from he's in Africa and he's starving.
They adopt him. The other South Park kids do.
Right? And I can't remember how aliens get involved. Somehow there's aliens. They want to go to a different spaceship.
Yeah.
But the best part of the whole thing is the Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson keeps begging for money throughout the whole thing so they can chase down and give Jesus to this new planet.
I forgot about the Pat Robertson twist.
And he's like, okay, what we need here is an argon laser that will pierce this photon missile. So can you guys donate? And Jesus will love you with this donation. He's all begging for donations. And the heart of it was the Sally Struthers is they go to Sally Struthers for help. And, of course, you know, the guys at South Park just mimic Jabba the Hutt scene.
She's eating, like, chicken wings.
And frogs.
Anything that moves, she, like, grabs it and eats it.
And they finally make a deal because I think Cartman – like gives her a candy bar or something as a trade.
Yeah.
she lets them use her spaceship. That's right. She had a Jabba the Hutt spaceship.
That's like a
junker.
And they saved the poor.
I can't believe I can pull that out of my head.
It's because it's brilliant.
What kind of knowledge is in this head that I can't remember, you know?
You can't remember who was on the show yesterday.
You
forget that Allison Bricker's on the show yesterday, but man, you can give a step-by-step analysis of a South Park episode from 20 years. Yeah. That's just freaking crazy. I'm just as bad, though. And you know what, Taryn Lupo? That's what makes us the most brilliant show on the airwaves. I would like to issue a challenge right now to Glenn Beck and to Alex Jones. That's right. I'm challenging both of you. I'm calling both of you out. If you have any cojones whatsoever, you'll come on the Liberty Cats and do a 1980s trivia contest with us. That's right, a 1980s trivia contest focused primarily on all the hot button topics of the day, like the Love Boat. We're going to focus on that, Alex Jones and Glenn Beck, and then we'll tell you who the better radio show host is. How you like that?
That might be actually a genius thing to do. I could concoct a quiz. And I could quiz you against a guest. Say we do like we get Bob Murphy in here. See who can win.
I'm taking
the most useless knowledge about what's happening now.
I'm over here taking notes right now. Get Bob Murphy on the show for 80s trivia contest. I like this idea. And being the high ranking celebritarian that I am, all I got to do is just get on the old Facey page and go, Bob, what's up? Want to come on the Liberty Cats? There won't be any hesitation, Taryn. He'll be like, when do you need me? It's as simple as that. That's the thing. I love having the power that I have. It's almost like being the president of the United States. It's like I've got a button at the touch of my fingertips that I can just make everything happen. That's how great I am.
You just send that drone out and they answer.
That's exactly it.
You're droning Bob Murphy.
You know what I wish I had drones for? I wish I had drones to run to the fast food restaurant for me.
Oh, man, when that comes. And, you know, this is an interesting topic because for real, Amazon, for you listeners who didn't know this, Amazon has been developing drones to carry packages to your door for Prime. Now, the way Amazon works is it has warehouses pretty much like in every state. So when you order it, they get you – if you're on their Prime thing, they'll get it to you in 2 days. So what they were talking about is these drones would just basically replace drivers, fly it out and drop it off. And I guess it worked out where it's cheaper to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the litigation and all the issues around it.
Like, and regulation.
Well, yeah, the government's got to screw it up, of course. But it is questionable of how are these drones smart enough to avoid power lines, trees? Do they drop your package?
Yeah.
They land on your car and – you know, use their helicopter blades and cut it all up. I mean, there could be some problems trying to get this thing off the ground. But
like going through a playground, annihilating children. That's a possibility.
Cutting your cable line as it comes in. Internet, no! Oh, man, and how hard is it to be without internet?
Oh, it's horrible.
It's so third world. Oh, my God. If it's gone for like an hour, it cuts out. I don't even know what to do with myself.
I lost internet on my phone. It was about a week or so ago. And I lost it for an hour and a half. During that hour and a half, I went into a deep, dark depression, Taryn. I started cutting myself. I started wearing black eyeliner. I thought my world was over. I was looking for women to impregnate to give me some sense of self-worth.
Just anything to feel anything. You'd slam your fingers in a door and
right. I was slamming my
listen
man
to goth music too loud.
I was slamming my manhood in the microwave door. I mean, it was anything to make me feel like I had a reason to be alive. And then suddenly the internet came back on my phone. I'm like, huh, that wasn't too long of a wait. And then it's just back to normalcy, you know, back to the regular every day.
It was really weird. I got to a point where I actually picked up a book, and I was like, I think I used to read these things when there was no power, you know? I was like, I forgot. And what's terrible is I'm an author.
I know. That's the thing. Well, it's like I'm in radio, and I don't listen to radio because I can't stand it. But, you know, that's a good point about you being an author, and that's something I really want to put a lot more focus on the Liberty Cats about your brilliance. And, you know, I talk about how great I am, but I really think that this should be a platform for us to talk about how great we are. Because I know people listening right now are aware of that. I just want to remind them constantly and consistently.
Keep it in the front of their brains. It's very important.
Top of mind awareness is everything. And I think our listeners need to be reminded that while they're okay, we're better. And you being the author that you are, you've got a heck of a lot of output, Taryn. You've been writing for a long time. You've been doing some very great work. And I'll tell you what, coming up later in the show, I really want to get into one of the articles that you recently wrote. I know you spend a lot of time doing this. There's a lot of research involved. People think that writing just happens. I know it doesn't. And I want to really kind of talk about what you do and the important input that you're providing for society in your writing, Taryn.
Well, I appreciate that wonderful plug, and I remember that I have to pay you now.
Yeah, I take Bitcoin.
You guys don't see that behind the scene. Every time he says that, I have to pay him a Bitcoin.
Pa-ching! Oh, I heard my Bitcoin.
Ding!
Ding, ding! There it was again, another Bitcoin.
Do you remember back in like 2008 and 9 when you could actually get people were giving away Bitcoins if you would just use it? There was a guy, Eric Voorhees, I think it was.
Yep,
Eric.
Yep.
Had the Bitcoin fountain.
Yeah.
You sign up, it would give you 5 Bitcoins.
I remember that, and I was so confused by it. Like, I didn't want anything to do with it. Back in that time, I'm going to be honest with you, this is how bass-ackwards I am most of the time. I was just getting into silver. Like, I thought silver was the coolest thing in the world. So people are talking about this Bitcoin, and I'm going, oh, this is a passing fad. This is just a phase. I don't need to know about this. Look at me now.
Yeah, you're a Bitcoin whore.
I am, man, and I could be rich if I hadn't at that time turned my nose away from it, and I did, and I feel bad for that.
I know, but I am glad that some people in this movement cashed out and did well, because I think that's going to be a huge influx of their generosity. So if you are listening and would like to donate Bitcoin to us, who carelessly spent our Bitcoins on gyros and Mandrix train wreck sandwiches. I remember Bitcoin got up to like $900. And I remember I traded a Bitcoin for a sandwich.
Did you really?
And I was like, yeah. Then I dropped something on George Mandrick's page and I was like, thanks for selling me the $900 sandwich.
Yeah, because that was when Bitcoin was like $5 or something.
Yes, $5.
Well, we have a lot.
We
have a lot more brilliant commentary and ideas to spread your way, dear friends. We are the Liberty Cats. Don't go anywhere. If you want to be informed, this is the only place to get true information that will change your life. We're coming right back after this. Say it with me. Meow.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grand Wizards of Funk, the Liberty Cats. These hep caps know how to drop such a furry and funk-tastic rhythm, you'll be solid all night long. You jive hustlers, go get your boots on. Flip your grip and be swelling into each other. Now, here's the bucket from Nantucket, Brian Hagen, and Lothario from Ontario, Taryn P. Lupo.
And we are your Liberty Cats on the air once again back on this Wednesday. I'm Brian Hagen, along with my old partner,
Taryn P. Lupo. Meow.
Meow. Both of us got our little scratching posts out, our claws out today. We've been tackling a lot of very important topics on the show today. Taryn, I wanted to tell you that since we debuted, what was that, last week, I've been getting, and maybe you have too, we haven't really had a chance to talk about it, I've been getting inundated with emails from people wanting to come on this show.
Nobody contacts me ever.
So oh, my.
It's all you.
getting,
it must be you or Allison.
I'm getting so many emails. Paul Joseph Watson from the Alex Jones Show, he wants to come on. I haven't gotten back to him yet. I thought we'd have to discuss that. Let's see. Who else? Stephen Molyneux. He wants to come on very soon. Haven't gotten back to him yet. I'm making them all wait. You know, I think that's the thing to do with people like that. Make them wait.
You play hard to get, man. You always put out too easy.
Exactly. That's always been my problem in life.
That's it. Learn something from these women that you've been with that you trick into paying for concerts.
Man, you're putting me back into that emo mode. I'm going to start cutting myself, and I've still got my black mascara over here. I will put it on. I will put this guy liner on. Don't let me scare you. Well, you know, we've been discussing a lot of important things. We've been talking about rugby. We've been talking about concussions. Let's see. We've been talking about how great we are. And one of the things that, Taryn, I think that you know, I had mentioned about what a brilliant author you are. The other thing is, I don't know if people realize that they should turn to you when they're making movie selections. A lot of people think they should go it alone or maybe turn to Rotten Tomatoes or some of these so-called movie critics. I don't think they realize just what a brilliant eye you have for film, my friend.
No, I'm going to share with you my movie pick of the week.
Good.
Because for you people that don't know, and as you'll learn as we get going, one of my favorite things to do is find and watch terrible movies. It's kind of like if you were ever a fan of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Loved it.
Loved it. I watched those caliber movies, but I'm part of a society in Savannah called the Psychotronic Film Festival, where they purposely find these really terrible movies that you've never seen, from like Czechoslovakia in the 1960s or something you'll only see once in your life. And I'm quite the connoisseur of awful, awful movies. But I'm going to go with some of the standard ones, because I was watching Svengoolie, which, if you guys don't know what that is,
I have no idea.
You don't know what Svengoolie is.
I do not.
All right. Back when we were kids, there was only 5 channels. And if you were watching TV and the president came on, you were so screwed.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, or baseball. Major League Baseball. No.
Yes. And you're right. There was Reagan again.
It's like, right. So it was a bad, bad day. You couldn't see Gilligan. So what happened was, the local stations that there were competing, these UFH channels.
Yes.
Would compete. And we had one in Washington, D.C. called, you know, Channel 20. And this one guy ran everything. He was Captain 20, which he was like a sci-fi guy. He had a sci-fi show. And then he dressed up like Bozo the Clown in the mornings and did like a kids show. But late night, he used to play the horror movies. And he was a horror host. And for you, it's kind of a dying thing that if you don't ever seen it, you probably never understand what it is. It's kind of like Mystery Science Theater 3000. A horror host usually has some sort of shtick, like he's dressed as a vampire or a werewolf or something like that. And they do skits to fill in the odd times of the movies. All these old black and white movies run on weird times. So they have to fill in the gaps by doing funny things. But what happened was, the horror host became way more popular than the movies. And people were tuning in to find out what they were doing. Well, one of them that has been around forever is out of Chicago, named Svengoolie. And he's like a vampire ghoul guy. And he just sits there and tells these terrible one-line jokes during the whole thing. But they'll cut in, and they'll cut in between commercials and do skits about the movie. So I watch it every Saturday night. There's a TV station called MeTV, and it's free if you have like a digital cable antenna. I don't have cable, so we beam it through the sky, and I get it. And if you watch MeTV, it shows all old black and white films and mainly shows like Leave It to Beaver and Donna Reed and stuff. But on Saturday nights,
I had a crush on Donna Reed when I was a kid. Oh, boy.
I never realized how big eyebrows she had until I watched again. I guess they didn't invent tweezers back then, but she was cute.
Oh, boy, was she ever. Anyway, go on. Svengoolie.
Svengoolie. So Svengoolie had this one movie this weekend called Dr. Cyclops, which I've been waiting forever to see. And the idea of the film is that there's this doctor who's wearing these big glasses, so they call him Cyclops. And even though he's not a Cyclops, which is very confusing. So he ends up shrinking down all these animals and people. He has like a shrink ray. And one of the things he shrinks down is a horse named Pinto, a little Pinto. And they're chasing him around with like a butterfly net. And, you know, you're talking about like 1960s special effects. So you can imagine that there's two screens. Everything's green screen. But it was such a fun movie, because of course there's a big black cat that comes out and chases all the people that get shrank, and they almost get eaten by the cat.
I think I may have seen that movie. It sounds really familiar to me.
It's actually really well done for the time period and what the special effects they had. They built like entire miniature sets where you know, they're standing around and all the chairs are gigantic around them, and all the cactuses are gigantic. And it was really impressive. Someone put some money into that thing back in the day. But it's one of my favorites. So if you ever get a chance, Saturday nights at 10 o'clock, live on air, it's called Svengoolie. You won't be disappointed. That's my pick of the week. But, Brian, you can also talk about what you like as far as cruddy movies.
Well, let me preface it with this real quick, Taryn. You're talking about these local hosts who, you know, a good example of that for those who may not understand exactly is Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Oh, right. She was a horror host.
Yeah, exactly. That's where she started out, here in Kansas, where I'm at, actually. She's from Kansas. She started out on a local Kansas channel, and now look at her. I mean, to this day, she's a national celebrity. I know we tried to book her for our annual Hiawatha Halloween. She commands like $50,000 just for a personal appearance. Yeah.
Considering she was just like a low-time horror host, and she was actually not a horror host for very long.
No.
She got immediately, like, grew out of that, you know, UHF environment and started getting into advertising and selling. I think she used to sell beer when we were kids, right?
Yeah, she sure did. Was it Budweiser? I can't remember, but
yeah, she'd be on for the Halloween commercials and stuff.
She's a very well-endowed gal, naturally, and yeah, she was perfect for the beer commercials. But speaking of well-endowed, yeah, probably one of my all-time favorite films like you're talking about, Taryn, and I remember watching it. We had a local host on our local UHF, Channel 41. His name was Uncle Ed. Uncle Ed is now in prison for child molestation, as a matter
That's
of fact.
Like.
Yeah, he honestly is in prison for child. Yes, he really is. And I watched Uncle Ed.
No.
It was like Saturday nights. He would show all these horrible, horrible shows. And one of them was Night of the Lupus, featuring these gigantic rabbits.
I'm gonna have to correct you. It's lepus.
Is it lepus?
Lepus? Is a disease.
That's
lepus.
Oh my goodness. So anybody out there who has lupus, please forgive me. I think maybe
it's got to be kind of a horror movie too.
I was gonna say that's just a horror. I actually know a gal with it. It's a horrible, horrible thing. I feel awful right now for comparing lupus, this awful, debilitating disease, to gigantic rabbits on Night of the Lepus. I feel horrible.
All right, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I'm glad you did. It would have been like me saying, and I watched this horror movie called Night of the AIDS Outbreak. No, that was Night of the Vampire. Oh, I get them confused. But yeah, Night of the Lepus, it's got these giant rabbits who do not have lupus, nor do any of the people in the show. And these giant rabbits start attacking the community. Well, these rabbits look like stuffed rabbits that, like, they just filmed on their own and then would, like, superimpose with the people. It's so terribly craptastic. It's wonderful, wonderful viewing.
Yeah, the movie takes a little while to get going. But around, the last half when the rabbits attack the town, they actually go through the trouble to make a miniature town with, a railroad.
Yes.
and telephone wires. And for you guys that don't know, it's really hard to miniaturize things against small animals. It just doesn't look right or work. So it's so obvious it's fake. You know, like these rabbits are running through this little town, tearing it apart. But it's fabulous. It's some great, great wow.
It's just fantastic fun, man.
And do you remember who's in it?
No,
there's
I do not.
Really famous in it.
There is. There's a famous name in that movie, Night of the Lepus.
Yeah, DeForest Kelly,
DeForest
guy that plays Dr.
Kelly?
Bones.
Sure, of course.
Bones on Star Trek. He's in it, and it's like one of his – it was kind of one of when he branched out to do movies. But he's like this serious guy, and I think he does get eaten by a rabbit if I remember right. I think everybody does.
Yeah, eventually I think the entire town gets trampled by rabbits, and that's when the miniature train set like explodes, and it's just – it's brilliant viewing.
They turn the – I won't say too much, but they turn the tracks into electrified tracks. You remember that?
Anybody want rabbits too?
Of course, rabbits don't. They don't just electrify. They blow up.
Well, Taryn, that leads me into what I want to talk about. And I talked about this earlier in the show. And I know I've been bad on a couple of episodes about saying that we're going to do something and then we never get to it because, well, by golly, we just enjoy our conversation so much, as everyone should. But I did mention the fact that you're an author and write a number of articles, too. And this ties right in. You recently wrote an article called Man Marries a Ghost, Suspects She's Unfaithful. And it's all about marrying a ghost. Where did this idea come from? And did you do a lot of research going into this article, Taryn?
Well, I live in Savannah, Georgia, which is considered the most haunted town on earth. They've tracked that because there's more ghost complaints here than any other town. And it's basically 300 years of people just burying bodies on top of each other.
Ew.
Like you're driving down the street and the street's actually made of graveyards that are paved. So yeah, kind of creepy town, and there's ghosts everywhere. So there's an actual host here that a friend of mine that's a tour guide, and that's where I covered the story. So maybe you could read a little of it if we have time. Do we have time?
Yeah, we do have time. So let me kick right into it. In fact, let me bring a little, if you don't mind, I'll bring a little creepy music into all of this, too, for ambiance. There we go. If that'll work, we'll bring some creepy music in. Okay, perfect. And by author Taryn P. Lupo. There are many strange marriage customs around the world, but one of the oddest is found in China, India, and the Sudan. Here, a person can bond in holy matrimony to a person who is deceased. This mainly happens when one partner dies while they're engaged, and their partner goes on with the ceremony anyway, ensuring they will be together in the afterlife. Sometimes, if both betrothed parties pass on, the family marries the deceased couple anyway. In China, the custom is the oldest brother gets married first, but if he dies a bachelor, this creates a big problem. And the solution is to have someone marry his ghost, allowing the next son-in-law to get married without causing a haunting. Next segment is called A New Business Opportunity. Well, one man heard about this idea and decided to expand his ghost tour company located in Savannah, Georgia. Shannon Scott helps run the Sixth Sense World Company and developed a new side business called Grooms and Ghosts. It's much like a Russian bride service for the spirit world. When I, Taryn P. Lupo, interviewed him about this new dating model, he said, quote, "Well, I think I discovered a whole new untapped niche market. There are tons of guys out there who are too desperate or ugly to get a woman in real life. Our company works around this problem and finds the perfect spectral bride for the undateable. We're here for all those men who fall in the real world by offering them love in the afterlife." He went on to explain, "Ghost women can be a little difficult to contact, but we tempt them using a Ouija board, and they're covered with chocolate shavings, glitter, pastels, and pictures of kittens. Now, once the couple is introduced, they chaperone a date and do all the things that ghosts like to do on dates." Taryn, that is fascinating reading.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that they had to actually create Ouija boards, especially to attract women ghosts. And they're really cute. I can post a picture up at our Facebook page, but they're, you know, pink, and they have little cute pictures of kittens, and they just hope that it'll work to mainly get a woman audience to come haunt your board.
I'm looking at a picture of the board right now over on taryinlupo.hubpages.com, and it's just, and I know you can find a lot of your articles over there, and you're right, it's absolutely adorable. One of the kittens is surrounded by, like, balloons and a little star, and they're just absolutely adorable. It's like a whole new revision of the classic Parker Brothers Ouija board. I want to commend you. What a great article this is, and what a great read it is, Taryn.
Well, I believe that you have a quote in there yourself, sir.
Yeah, I am quoted in the article because, well, as soon as you told me about this, I decided to go ahead and try it out for myself. Now, I'm not going to quote myself, so I really recommend that you go online and find the article over on our Facebook page, if you'd be so kind, Taryn, as to post a link to where we host all of your articles so people can spend hours and hours of their lives, you know, maybe taking time away from their spouse or their children, reading your greatness instead. I think that would be a great service for humanity if you would do that, sir.
I will do that. You can also catch it over at lupolink.com, which is over at my webpage.
Okay, that's perfect. And, you know, Taryn, I guess I want to ask you, you know, you wrote that article, and I know you wrote a number of other ones in recent times over the past month or so. Are you still pumping out the articles, my friend?
I'm getting there. I've got one more novella to finish. And once I'm done with that, I'm going to be done book writing for a while, and I'm going to focus on articles and just doing, you know, a slave job for a little bit, getting some money going.
Which novella are you working on right now?
I'm doing If It Ain't Got That Swing, which is about swing music in Nazi Germany. It's kind of like a you know, all the stuff I write has some sort of liberty theme in it, but it is the best thing you could call it's a liberty romance. You know, it's a historical fiction romance that takes place in swing time Nazi Germany. And what happens, of course, is this Jewish kid is in Germany right as Hitler's starting to come to power, and they're starting to shut down everything that is Jewish. And he falls in love with the daughter of a Nazi, and it's about that. And it gets absolutely crazy.
So it's not a comedy.
No, this is more of a serious drama.
Sounds like it.
But there is humor in it. Every one of my books, I try to always make the characters funny. But if you can get any sort of humor in Nazi Germany, it's in there.
You do a lot of great work, my friend. I've always been very impressed by your authoring skills, and really everybody listening, once they take a look at your written word, they will be impressed too. Hey, we got one more brief segment to come as we come back and remind you of the brilliance of this little show known as the Liberty Cats. So I implore you, dear friends, hold hands with your wife, your husband, your children, grandma, grandpa, the dogs and cats, and we'll be right back. So don't go anywhere, because there's a lot more liberty in the meow to come on the other side of this break. So hang on.
Prepare to be annihilated as the Liberty Cats take on Truckzilla, Gravedigger, and the Dutch Oven live at the Terra Dome. The first 10 listeners to buy a ticket will get their own pair of chrome truck nuts. Tune in at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at Daily Paul Radio. That's this Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday!
You know, it's just amazing to me just how quickly each hour goes by. I'm Brian Hagan, along with
Taryn P. Lupo.
And we are the Liberty Cats. And, you know, we really are trying to contribute a lot of brilliance. And I shouldn't say trying. We are contributing brilliance to the airwaves. I do want to thank you, dear friends, for joining us each Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday right here. Coming up in a mere matter of minutes, our old friend Allison Bricker is going to be along. And Taryn Lupo, she's going to be talking with Ben Swan, the investigative journalist.
Now, you need to tell him to stop texting me and blowing up my phone, because I'm getting real tired of him asking to be on our show all the time.
Is he doing that still? I thought I told him to stop that.
Yeah, look at our Facebook page. He's posting all these selfies all over it, trying to get us interested.
Oh, I saw that one where his tie was askew, and he was kind of glancing at his watch like an old-fashioned JCPenney's model.
Right, he's got his jacket open in one, like where he's looking at the label.
Yes, I saw that. It's Ben Swan here. If you can hear us right now, Ben Swan, stop. You're not doing yourself any favors.
Just embarrassing yourself.
Exactly. It's an embarrassment to you and your family and the entire Liberty Movement. You should not be posting these kind of pictures on our page. If we want to interview you, we'll get with you. You don't get with us, okay? And let Allison do all that. Let Allison have him. So Allison Bricker's show, going to be talking with Ben Swan coming up. Also, when we come back on Thursday, tomorrow, we got another great show lined up, Taryn P. Lupo, so should be a good time again, huh?
It's going to be fun. Remember, we are your Gilligan's Island of the week, a three-hour tour a furry love.
That's exactly right. And just like Gilligan's Island, you're kind of stuck with us. You're stuck here. But we do not have any giant spiders, dear friends. We certainly don't have a brilliant mind like the scientist guy. All you've got is, well, a couple of Gilligans. So
Gilligan and a drum skipper.
Exactly. That's all you've got with the Liberty Cats. But we will talk to you again tomorrow. So think deep about those things that we've thought about today. There might be a quiz. We'll have to wait and see how that comes together. But hopefully we are inspiring you to make some changes in your life, because that's what we do. We bring you the brilliance with the Liberty Cats. Meow, dear friends. Meow.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.